It is time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am here with my ever fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning.
Good morning. I got my apron on.
I know you do. You are ready.
And it's springtime. You know, that's like bird watching time. So I'm calling it food squawk. 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 Food squawk.
It is bird watching time. They're all coming back or passing through. Yes. It's pretty exciting, really. Woo-hoo.
Well, and not the only thing. Did you hear that there were 5 orcas in the river last night?
No.
Yeah. But by the bridge. You and I were at a dinner. I totally missed it. Oh, and it was a nice dinner.
I'm surprised you didn't jump up and leave.
I had my phone off. It was a nice dinner, but it was not a missing 5 orcas in the river nice dinner. Oh, my gosh. So, they were eating seals and just going between Hammond and the bridge. So that's not really food talk, but they were eating.
They were having a dinner also.
Yes.
Well, I saw you across a crowded room last night. That was nice. We were both at the Helping Hands fundraiser dinner, and it was lovely.
Yes.
But that was somebody else cooking. What have you been cooking?
Well, I made your chicken with 40 cloves of garlic.
Yeah, well, it's really Ina Garten's, isn't it? And how was it?
It was really, really good. I was worried because the recipe has, you know, like a cup and a half of white wine and a whole bunch of Courvoisier or cognac. And so I was worried I was going to have to, you know, take my car keys away from myself. But it was delicious. I mean, it was really, really
It all gets cooked down.
Gorgeous. Just lovely.
Yeah.
I see why you like it so much.
Oh, it's delicious. And also, it makes my husband ridiculously happy. And, you know, it's easy. It's easy. 40 minutes, it's done. It's not like a long braise or something.
Yeah.
So it makes it more of a year-round thing to do. But anyway, for people who are curious, that is Barefoot Contessa Ina Garten's recipe for 40 cloves of garlic. And you can get it either in her cookbook or on like a Food Network, you can find it. So
online,
it's easy and really quite delicious. And
I like
aside from 2 kinds of booze, there isn't a whole lot of exotic ingredients. It's chicken and garlic and some cream. And it's good.
Yeah, I like her recipes. They always work for me.
Yeah, she's one of those people who tests.
Yeah,
we love that in a cookbook author.
Yeah,
seriously.
Well, and not just tests, but makes sure her stuff is delicious. You know, not just that. You know, she has the right amounts of everything, and she's not just throwing stuff together to have recipes out there and get exposure. I like that. So I got into the station this morning, and my microphone was turned around. Somebody's tricking me.
Oh, no. I don't think it was any kind of a message.
I don't know.
It wasn't.
An analogy would be like smoking the wrong end of the cigarette, you know? Taking it a little personal.
We didn't mean anything by it. Seriously. Oh, my gosh.
Rats.
I seem to have liberated a few more evenings in my world over. I've been threatening to do that for, I don't know, you know, like a couple decades. And slowly it's kicking in. And now I find myself faced with cooking some dinners because normally I'm the breakfast girl. It's the one reliable time that that my husband and I sit down and share something at a table. So breakfast has always been my go-to, but now I'm having to come up with meals. And certainly that chicken with 40 cloves is one of them. But I also made what in my family we grew up affectionately calling SOS, you know what I mean? But it was originally, I think it was chipped beef on toast.
My mom used to make it.
But I don't care for the chipped beef.
Really?
I don't know. It's personal. I just don't care for it. It's really salty and weird. Anyway, I had a package of the American-raised Wagyu beef, ground beef, and I made it with that. And one of the issues I have with that dish, which is basically a bechamel sauce with some sort of meat and over toast, is that it doesn't really have a whole lot of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So I put in a lot of garlic.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Garlic and onions and smoked paprika, your favorite. Or no, it's
Dale's favorite.
It's poor Dale's favorite.
Poor Dale.
Yeah. I put a bunch in of things that I thought would perk it up, and it was actually pretty darn good. And then got some very good bread to toast and put it on. Made garlic toast, actually, and served it over that, and it was really good.
That sounds good. I always make it with asparagus, not with meat, but with asparagus.
Oh,
yeah, so it's kind of a compromise, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Dale remembers having it on a Coast Guard ship.
Oh yeah, that sounds really good, and yeah, it's asparagus season.
And especially if it's if generally if I grill asparagus, I'll just grill all the asparagus I have in the house and then use it over the next couple of days. And so it's really good with grilled asparagus.
That's a great idea too. That's a really great idea because when I have leftover asparagus, I run out of ideas to, you know, I do the standard things like one night we'll have chilled cooked asparagus with a vinaigrette and chopped egg on top, and that's the salad or what, you know, I mean, but I run out of things to do. Put it in a scramble. That's a great idea.
Thanks. Yeah, that
and SOS then... with asparagus. That's good.
AOS.
Yeah. All right. Whatever. It's not getting better. No, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, I like asparagus. There's just a little French salad I like with just it's just lettuce and then cold grilled or boiled, but I always grill it, grilled asparagus, some walnuts, and then a Dijon-based vinaigrette that you put some tarragon in. And I really, really love that a lot.
I did some, now see, I'm going to confess to the fact that we ate something out of season. Which means it came from somewhere else.
But I couldn't resist
because I was in the produce section of the co-op the other day and they had the most beautiful green beans.
Oh, yeah.
It's not quite time yet here.
Oh, but I eat them all year. I like them.
They were so beautiful. And I steamed them lightly, but then I just sauteed them and tossed them with some parsley pesto I had left over.
Oh, wow.
And toasted walnuts. Toasted walnuts made me think of that when you said that. And it was good. Really good. I mean, you don't really need to do anything to a fresh green bean to make it better, but it was delicious.
That's nice. I really like them with like a finishing olive oil.
Yeah.
And lemon juice. Ooh. Salt and pepper. But they don't like last for leftovers because that lemon juice turns them gray after a couple hours. But I really, really like that. I like the steamed green beans and then good olive oil and lemon juice. I like that a lot.
Yeah. And that, you know, that whole idea of finishing olive oil, because finishing olive oil is very, very expensive, but you don't use it to cook with. So a smaller bottle lasts a long time.
Yeah. And I don't use like the really expensive stuff, but I just mean like the really flavorful stuff, not just the cooking oil, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I really like it. And I like having a bottle of that for vinaigrettes and just for that sploosh of olive oil on something just before you serve it.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah.
I made something that had that like crispy casserole topping. Do you know how when you put bread in a food processor to make breadcrumbs and then you put melted butter on it and then that you brown that on top of whatever you're cooking? I think I made macaroni and cheese. But anyway, so I had the bread in the food processor to make breadcrumbs. And you know how like when you do the melted butter, it turns out just kind of greasy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I don't really like that. So I thought I'm going to try this. And I put in with the breadcrumbs, I put some softened butter, but maybe like a third of what I would normally use. And I ran it through the food processor and it worked. And it worked and I think it was so much better than the putting, it's such a small thing.
You didn't end up with just a big old clump of.
That's what I thought would happen and I didn't care. I'm like, I'm going to smear it on the macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, it's a spread.
No, but it worked and every piece had a little tiny bit on it. And I mean, really every little bit of it.
And did it crisp?
Yes. And it wasn't greasy, but it still had butter flavor. I mean, it was really good and it just wasn't greasy how it gets greasy when you pour that melted butter and try to mix it up and you're never successful because some is completely soaked immediately and then some is left in the fringes.
Yeah.
It worked great.
Wow.
Yeah. And so much
you
less
may have
butter.
Invented a technique. It's entirely possible we should name it for you quick before someone else claims it.
What would we possibly name it?
I don't know, but you know, we're starting
Crummy
to.
Linda.
I haven't talked. It could be a professional wrestling move. I don't know. or something out of Red October. Anyway, I have not told you this, but we have gotten a couple of pieces of mail from people who listen to us.
No.
Yes. And the thing that I want to tell you about those missives are that they both, in different ways, have renamed you. Apparently, I know that I say your name at least twice and usually more on every show, but sometimes you're Jan, sometimes you're Pat. So I'm saying, you know, we could name it anything because apparently you have like a long list of aliases.
She's got an apron.
Yeah, right. You know that apron lady.
Apron Annie.
It's Linda. It's so... Linda. And I by no means do I want to discourage you from writing. Of course you can.
Well, and then that's so funny that you said that, because then at that dinner last night, the Helping Hands dinner, this guy comes up to me and he's a well-respected citizen and a good and friendly guy. And he's giving me all kinds of compliments about the radio show. And do you know what he asks about? Those damn handballs.
The handballs. I thought you said handballs, like, you know, a sport.
No, handballs.
Oh, yeah, the handballs.
The worst thing I've ever cooked in my whole entire life.
Well, you know, you could be, at least Minnesota-wise, in the minority there, because apparently they are popular.
Oh, they are. They're so popular.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking, do you remember, it was a while ago, I mean, like, maybe 30 years, when CDs started coming out with that, like, rating system, that parental ratings guiding system. And same thing even before that. I mean, well, it was still the 80s when like PG started and, you know, things have different rating systems. We should have rating systems. Well, we sort of do for recipes, but I mean, they should have labels. Like ones like handballs, they shouldn't have like a disclaimer, you know, really, at your own risk.
Try it. You probably won't like it.
Yay! We know you want to, but for no good reason.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Well, I think it's a wonderful thing in America that you can buy yakisoba noodles at the store. You know, they're already ready to go.
Yes.
They're sealed up in a bag. And I think summer is a wonderful time for them. I mean, any time of year you can stir fry them and they're very good. But I just love salads, noodle salads, where you have essentially just like a sesame dressing and then the yakisoba noodles, some sesame seeds, and then whatever you got in the fridge vegetable wise. And I think that that's like a really good all-purpose thing.
It's a really great thing, and especially I think in picnic season, because it's one of those salads that's great at room temp.
Yep.
And will sit
keeping
happily,
be safe. Yeah.
Yeah, for the afternoon.
Yeah.
On your picnic table.
Speaking of picnics, I'm taking a class at the Food Web.
You are?
Yeah, and you're teaching.
Am I going to be there?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we better add a pasta. Pasta salad. There is a pasta salad on there, but we might add a yakisoba noodles thing. I'm always wanting to add more stuff on, much to the chagrin of Wendy D'Agostino, who runs this cooking class program. And she's like, I had the packets already done. And now anyway.
No, I'm excited.
Yeah, picnic. It's almost time. And really, any time. I think when I wrote the copy for the class, I said, you know, it could just be a carpet picnic on a rainy day. It doesn't have to be outdoors.
Picnic. Yeah, I like chairs.
Yeah. That's true. I do, too. Oh, my gosh. I do, too. Anyway, picnic food. That'll be fun. That'll be really fun.
Can you imagine in our house a carpet picnic with all those dogs?
Oh,
good
no,
Lord.
You can't have one.
Oh, my gosh.
But it is like having a whole bunch of little dustbusters always on duty.
The floor is so clean. I should have named them all Swiffer.
I think it's great. I have two dogs, and they're really good in the kitchen. The kitchen floor is usually pretty, it looks clean, but it's like vaguely sticky from having been licked so much.
So many little tongue prints.
Yeah, I know. I imagine that there are actually people in the world who, A, don't have pets, or B, don't allow their pets in the kitchen. In fact, I know somebody whose dogs are not allowed to cross the line into the kitchen. And I think that that's fabulous, but requires a degree of vigilance early on that I do not possess.
I swore this time I was going to train them. I mean, I swore to myself.
How
and
would
then,
you pow! Even do that in your kitchen? It's really a pass. You know, I mean,
yeah,
it's
there's no real line. But I think you can successfully, you know, if you weren't me, put a rug down or something and then they can't go past that.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't do it.
Yeah. My excuse is that we always adopt old dogs because we're old. But so I take no responsibility for their bed manners, even though I'm sure I might.
Can't teach them a new trick.
Yeah, right. I'm proof of that. You're listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio. Food Talk is a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web, where you can go to see what recipes are available, northcoastfoodweb.org. I'm Marianne Myers, and I'm here with the fabulous, really, truly, I'm not kidding, Linda Perkins. And we're just talking about home cooking, as we do the first and third Monday of every month. What else is, what's in your fridge?
Holy cow, so much stuff.
I don't know. The one fridge.
No, yeah. For some reason, I just went a little cheese happy. Do you ever do that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Lord, like there's some kind of cheese virus and I got it.
I do it every week.
Do you know what I learned though? Okay, so the macaroni and cheese. We're back on that again. So I made macaroni and cheese and I hadn't done that in a long time. And I mean, a matter of years, I really don't think I've made macaroni and cheese. So you know how there's some things you can just make too much of and you're pretty much done for your life, or at least that decade, that was one of them. So I made the macaroni and cheese and then I made it how I always made it, and I put some cheese on top and then the breadcrumbs, and the cheese formed this, instead of doing how it normally does, which it kind of bubbles down in everything and it's pretty, but it's good. It just kind of made this, it was pretty, and then the crunchy stuff on top was good, but it just kind of made this barrier. I mean, it was just this kind of impervious, weird
cheese mat
barrier. Exactly. And do you know what I learned? And I should have known, I really feel that I should have known, but I didn't know, that if you use that cheese in the bag that's shredded,
yeah,
there's starch on it, and it doesn't melt very well, and I didn't know that. I don't know how I didn't know that.
And it does. That's why it's all stays loose. It doesn't stick together.
Yes, you know? But then when you try to melt it, it makes the cheese mat, which is an excellent phrase I have just learned. And for those of you who don't know my name, it might be Matt. And
it
you
might
can
possibly
call me Cheese Matt.
It might be. Yeah, there are certain cheeses that and it isn't that I haven't ever used the pre-shredded or grated cheeses. I have. But they just don't behave properly for melting.
See, now, I just plain did not know that. And I think it's more severe with orange cheeses.
Oh, maybe.
I think, and I don't use that much of them. And then, so then I got myself, I experimented, and I got myself a big block of cheese that I grated up. And, I mean, the difference is pretty remarkable.
Okay, so it worked out good the second time.
Yeah, it was so much better on top, and it was so much better in the thing itself. The word you used behaved. It just behaved so much better. So I really feel I should have known that.
Well,
maybe that's why they turned my microphone around.
Hey, it's a poor day when you don't learn something new. So so you learn something new, and that redeems a whole day. And also, it's crazy how much we cannot know, despite the fact that we cook about cooking when we cook all the time. It is. I mean, part of it is that we get stuck in ruts because someone we love, we cook for all the time, loves something, or because we can't think of anything, or, you know, we have those default recipes and then they seem to rotate. There's all kinds of reasons why. It's easy to learn something new because you step outside the rut, and then there you are. I was trying to think of something. I have to cook for a group this evening, and it is, there's some vegetarians and some not. I think that's the only thing. On a really big group, you have all of these issues, gluten and dairy and meat and vegan and maybe and omnivores. And omnivores are pretty easy because no matter what you cook, they'll eat it. That's me. Just whatever it is, that's fine. I'm happy. But I think I'm going to make pizza tonight.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because it's so good vegetarian, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. And I can make a couple different kinds, you know, with I like pizza with red sauce, but I really like pizza with like a little garlic and onion and olive oil sauce sauteed until everything's nice and mushy, and then spread that on the crust. I like that.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to make pizza. And also, it's spring. There's so much good stuff right now.
Asparagus is so good on a pizza.
Yeah.
You know what I really like on pizza? Green olives.
Ooh.
I think that's just about my favorite thing on pizza.
Ooh. And I'm not going to use pre-shredded cheese now.
No, I'm not. Because you don't want the cheese mat.
No, and I like a big variety of cheese on
I should have a business. I should open that. Cheese mat pizza.
Maybe you could just sell the mats and we could put them on whatever we want.
This stuff stays warm underneath forever.
little space blankets. Cheese.
Space blankets.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I bet there's a huge market for that, Linda.
I think that it's been filled.
You know, when you started talking about cheese, it made me think of another Ina Garten recipe that I love that is completely foolproof. And if people are afraid of soufflés, this is the one to try. She does a blue cheese soufflé that is unbelievably delicious. And I have made it with a variety of cheeses. And it's so easy and so beautiful.
I have some blue cheese.
It's really good. Look for that. I'm sure it's on the
Because of my cheese
website.
Virus. Nice.
Because of your what?
My cheese virus.
Yes.
The cheese virus I caught. Well, I make some, I have in the past, some blue cheese popovers.
Oh.
And just, you know, a rising souffle made me think of it. And I have made them, I have a popover pan, but I really like them just in a little mini muffin pan. You know, you don't have to pipe them like you do. How do you say the word? Gougiers?
Yeah, yeah.
And just in a little mini muffin pan, and those turn out really good. But I like that flavor that with, you know, it's eggy too.
That sounds,
with the blue cheese.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Ooh, that would make also a good little sandwich. I mean, you could put something wonderful in there, ham and sliced pear or apple.
Ham balls.
We have found a use for them.
I'm only going to make round stuff this summer.
Okay. Cherry tomatoes, here we come.
Oh, I'm so excited for tomatoes. I can't stand it.
I know. I really miss them.
Yeah.
I know. I just refuse to eat them. I don't even buy them.
Yeah.
No.
It's going to be so good.
It's so tragically disappointing that I just can't. I can't stand it. Yeah.
What else have you been cooking?
I'm trying to think because, we had fajitas one night. I got a nice flank steak and marinated it all day and grilled it and cut it into strips and then just, you know, sauteed peppers, onions, some mushrooms, and tucked it into a flour tortilla with a little grated cheese and some sour cream. They were good.
Yeah.
I forgot how good they were.
There's a big store in town that has, and I'm sure other stores do, too, naan, N-A, that Indian
flatbread. It's everywhere right now. Lovely.
Yeah. And when you take it out of its package, it's not very appealing. And you can do the thing where you heat them up in a fry pan, but it takes a long time because a bunch of them don't fit in the fry pan.
Yeah.
And so I have learned to stick them in the toaster.
Oh, what a good idea.
It works so good. So my toaster, I think, goes 1 to 6, and I put it on 2 because they get black spots, which aren't untasty, but it's just until they're really hot and soft.
Okay.
And they're really, really delicious with fajita-type things. And then also, I've been making souvlaki, and I love souvlaki, just where you buy yourself some cheap honkin' pork and just marinate it in olive oil and lemon juice and then Greek spices, Greek oregano, a Greek spice mix, and it's salt and pepper, and just grill it. And it's really, really good in one of those naan breads, which is kind of like one of those thick...
It's Indian flatbread.
Yeah.
I mean, Indian, not Native American.
Yeah, but it's like those when you get a Greek gyro sandwich, it's like the bread that comes in.
So good.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and
I like it better than pita.
Yes, I do too, because it's not so dry.
Yes, it's got more flavor.
Yeah. And then some tzatziki, which in my house is yogurt, Greek yogurt. I like it thicker, plain yogurt, and lemon juice, a little bit of olive oil, garlic, fresh dill if you have it, and then... cucumber, and then feta cheese if you have it, but I usually don't unless I have a cheese virus that I've caught.
I made a vegetarian cooking class we were doing. I found a recipe for a very, very good salad with Frika, I believe it was.
Now, I've seen that word, but I don't know what it is. Is it a grain?
It's a whole grain, and it's delicious. cooked, very good cooked. This was cooked and then tossed with, while it's still warm, tossed with a vinaigrette dressing, and you add a bunch of, it's a whole grain salad with a bunch of vegetables in okay. with it, and roasted vegetables in with it, and then
is it sort of like a tabbouleh
little
feeling
chunks
thing?
Of chev. Yeah, it's sort of like tabbouleh, but I think that tabbouleh is more, this is more, much heartier. Like it's okay. got big chunks of roasted squash and that kind of thing in it. Yeah, it was really, really good. But I was reminded how much I like chèvre and how much I think of chèvre as being, I mean, it's an all-purpose cheese, but in the summer especially, there's so many reasons to... you know, to support your cheese virus with chèvre. Chèvre is very, it's like the tofu of cheese, you know.
All-purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
And it does really make anything better.
Yep, it really does. You know, right now our local cheese makers...
Cheesemongers. Let's call them cheesemongers.
They're mongers because they sell also.
Okay.
But they also make cheese. Yeah. It's fresh chèvre season, you know, as the year wears on, we get wonderful local chèvre, but it's frozen and you thaw it out and it's not exactly the same, but it is so darn good that you're happy to have it.
Yeah.
But then in the spring, you've got all this chèvre. You know, fresh milk.
Brand new, like the Nouveau Beaujolais.
Oh, yeah, the Nouveau Beaujolais.
Ooh, those two things. Have you ever noticed how nobody ever quotes me on anything?
I wouldn't be too sure. I bet there's ham ball quotations floating around out there. We don't know what's happening. We do not know what's happening out there.
Snowballing.
And it's just as well.
Ham balling. Lord.
Yes, anyway, so... I can't even remember. We had fajitas. I did the default, which is cook the husband a steak one night.
Yeah,
and
I got one in the fridge. They were on sale. Yep. It always makes them happy.
Yeah. And it's really, it seems like an opulent gift when in fact it's like one of the easiest dinners in the whole wide world. Yeah. So it's a gift to both of us.
Yeah.
And I do it. It's my way of saying, gosh, I couldn't think of a thing.
Do you ever use that flat iron steak?
I don't see it very often.
Yeah, you're right. It's not an easy thing to find, but I really like it. So it's from the Chuck, and it just grills up really, really nice. And so it's kind of my default steak to go to if I'm making fajitas or if I'm making a steak salad. And I like it. It's what I used to use flank steak for. But for me, and I'm sure it's just something I'm doing wrong, that it's not inherent in the cut of meat. But flank steak always, you know, I'll let it rest. I'll do everything I can think of, but it loses its juice. You know what I mean? That's just what flank steak does for me. And so this doesn't. And so.
But you're grilling, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just dripping away.
Well, it's in the after the grilling process.
Oh.
Like it's when it's sitting there, and just no matter what I do, it just all drains out. Yeah.
So, shoot.
Yeah. And it's not horrible or anything, but for me, the flat iron is better.
I think too, for fajitas with flank steak, for me, I am really like tossing the strips of flank steak into, because I'm using the stove, so I'm doing it in a saute pan, and they are like, they hit the pan, I'm counting to three, I'm flipping it, they're done.
Well, and then you're doing it all sliced up, I'm doing it whole, so that's probably the difference there. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, but and you would think it would retain juice even better whole.
You would think.
I don't know what the science going on there is. I don't know. Or do you do a rub or a marinade?
Usually it's a rub.
Yeah. Yep.
Meh.
I have no idea.
Me
I don't know
either.
What's happening there. But I don't see flat iron steak very often available anywhere.
Yeah.
So
I know it's usually, if it exists, it's by flank steak because they are similar.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's next to the flank steak.
Yeah.
I guess I should look more carefully. Well, I'm mostly doing breakfast, I got to say. Yeah. What do you do about breakfast?
Our house, we don't really, it's not a fancy meal. It's not... we're together more for dinner than we are for breakfast.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's just because of bird watching and orca watching. And so I'm gone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not even a breakfast person. I'm not interested in breakfast at all, but I am interested in looking at my husband across the table.
Yeah.
So he makes the coffee, I make the breakfast, he eats, I drink coffee, and we're happy.
Oh, I like that.
And we're looking at birds outside the kitchen window. That's how it works.
You have a great feeder.
Yeah, we have a couple of really nice feeders, and Tom is very good about keeping them full, and our birds know us because we've been there for a while, so they will come to the dining room window and go, ahem. It's empty.
Peck.
Yeah, right. I'm staring at you. Get up. So he has, you know, there is no key. Well, I don't know about, you're the bird person. I have never figured out how to keep pigeons away. If you're feeding birds, you got pigeons.
Yeah, I know. You have such interesting ones I've seen them at your house.
Yeah, they're lovely.
There's such a variety.
And they're kind of like puppies. They follow you around, you know, in little groups, talking all the time.
Yeah. There's never, I don't know, I've never tried to keep anything away. But
it's 10 o'clock.
Uh-oh.
And we are going to go off to NPR News headlines in just a few seconds. And then John Stevenson is in the house to bring you Lost Highways. I want to say thank you so much, Linda Perkins, for being here.
Matt Jan.
You've been listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon, streaming at coastradio.org and on your mobile using the TuneIn app.